Guys, without further ado, we have Jeff Hitman.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it, man. Amen. I love being here in Gwinnett. Really grateful for the Rouse and really all your elders and their wives, and grateful for the Beckers and the Littles and just friends in the battle. And I just give you greetings from the North River Church of Christ, just northwest of here. And we just want you to know, you know, Tom Brown and all the elders there, we just love you. And we feel a connection with you all. And we just hope to continue building a relationship with each other over the years. Atlanta's a great city. It's a great place to worship God. And we got a lot of people to meet, don't we? We got a lot of people to encourage and help in the faith. And if you are visiting, I just want to extend, you know, a welcome on behalf of the brothers and sisters here. Again, I just, you know, grateful for you to come out and really hear about Jesus. And here's the cool thing. You know, if you don't like anything I say, it's cool because I'm not going to be here next week. You know what I'm saying? No biggie. So you can come back next week, hear somebody else, and it'll probably help you out even more. So, you know, I just hope that today can be a time where we can be encouraged in the faith. Grateful for the class that we had earlier about the Apostle John, and just the songs have been uplifting. I know my wife and I are encouraged to be here. We would have brought our two daughters who are 10 and 11, but, you know, they have a social calendar, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, you know, they had a sleepover with their friends last night, and so they were partying. I mean, we could hear them singing songs upstairs, but they aren't with us, but my wife and I are here, grateful to be here. We love all of you, so I would love for you to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And I want to hold off on showing the slide of the title, so you can just wait on that one. I am going to read some scriptures, and I think that you will figure out the theme of what we want to talk about today from these scriptures, okay? Because you are a sharp bunch. That's what I believe. And we're in a high school auditorium, so you got to kick into your thinking cap zone right here, okay? But before we do that, I'm going to pray for us so that God can use this time. Amen? Amen? Father, we come to you in prayer this morning. We want to humble ourselves. We want to empty ourselves. We want to fill ourselves with you, Father, your Spirit. Father, we want to learn. We want to be learners. And Father, I just pray that collectively we can strive to show this world who your Son Jesus really is. Be his hands and his feet. And really live out the charge of being the body of Christ. And Father, I know that we all go through ups and downs. And I know in a room this big, people are going through various things right now. But God, ultimately, I firmly believe in the power of Jesus. I firmly believe in the reality of your Holy Spirit and how powerful he is. I firmly believe that your words that are in the scriptures, in our Bible, they are not just words, that they are life, that they are living and active and able to change and transform us. I believe in the power of your word being preached and taught. Doesn't matter who's doing the teaching. Or preaching, Father, because it doesn't matter. What matters is your word and the power of your word and the principles and the precepts that your word represents. And Father, I pray that we can focus on that. And whether we've read the scripture a million times or this is someone's first time hearing some of these scriptures, I pray that we can have a humility to feel and believe the impact of who Jesus really is. And apply it to our lives today, right now. But help us. Free us from the distractions in our minds. From the phone that might be vibrating to text messages that are coming in. Or emails that we think about what we're going to do later on today. God, help that not to distract us from right now. But we can't do that without your help, Father. Because we are like sheep. So help this little congregation of sheep right here to focus in on you and to be moved and transformed by your word. I ask this prayer in the name and in the power of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to read this grouping of scriptures, and I think you'll figure out what we're going to talk about today. Matthew 8, 27. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Matthew 9, 33. "And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, 'Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel.'" Matthew 12, 23. "All the people were astonished and said, 'Could this be the son of David?'" Matthew 19, 25. "When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, and they asked, 'Who can be saved?'" Mark 2, verse 12. "He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, 'We have never seen anything like this.'" Mark 5, 42. "Immediately the girl stood up and walked around." She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. Mark 6, 51. "Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down, and they were completely amazed." Mark 10, 26. "The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, 'Who then can be saved?'" Mark 10, 32. "They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid." Mark 15, verse 5. "But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed." Luke 9, 43. "And they were all amazed at the greatness of God, while everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did." In Luke 5, 26. "Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, 'We have seen remarkable things today.'" I think you got it figured out right now, don't you? Are you amazed at Jesus? Does he still amaze you? That's what we want to talk about today. And I love one of the translations in the Revised Standard Version. It talks about amazement seized all of them. Are you seized by amazement? In other words, you are going through your life and somehow you come into contact with something Jesus said or did, and you weren't even prepared for it, but you were seized with amazement. Does that describe your life, your walk with God? Seized by amazement. Because if not, then I fear for you. Because I fear that the other side of the coin is happening. You're not seized by amazement. You're just secure in your assessment of Jesus. I know he's got power. He can break the chains. Yes, I know that. Yes, Son of God. Yes, I understand that. Yes, Jesus, right? You know, exact representation of his being. I know that. Come on. I've been attending church for a long time, and I've heard these things. Jesus is very awesome. He's very powerful. You really should get to know him, but you are not amazed. Come on. You're not amazed. You're just secure in your assessment of Jesus. Know who he is. Know what he's done. Led a few Bible studies back in the campus dorms, and you got it all figured out. Come on. And what I want to talk about today is we can never stop being amazed at Jesus. And if you find yourself in that place, get out of that place. And how do you do that? Well, let me tell you something. You got to spend time with Jesus, don't you? You got to figure that out. That's one thing you got to do. You got to be willing to read some of the things you've always read and pray, "God, help me stay amazed." In Luke 8, I love this passage. And I love putting myself in the place of people, right? Because most of the time when we read the Bible and we pretend like we were there, usually, we always come out good. You know what I mean? Like, if there's somebody that says something stupid in there, you go, "I would not have said that." Like, I would have understood the situation and I would have been better, right? And that's how we usually do it, right? But I love this in Luke 8. And it's just, to me, this is what it means to me to be amazed at Jesus, right? And in verse 22, "One day Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's go over to the other side of the lake.' So they got into a boat and set out. And as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Well, what if that were you in that boat, right? I don't know about you, but I'll tell you how I would feel at the beginning. I'm gonna be honest with you. When I got on the boat, I'd be like, "Cool, little brother's bonding time," right? You know, amen. And then when the storm would have started, and the Bible says they were in great danger, right? Trained fishermen, right? In great danger. Okay? So that was not just a little storm. That was a serious, they were hurting. The boats weren't that sturdy, you know what I'm saying? And so I can tell you what I would have been feeling right about that time I saw the storm. Who told us to get up in this boat in the first place? Who? Jesus. And I probably would have been tempted to be a little mad at Jesus. He's supposed to be all that. Couldn't he have known that the storm was coming? Right? So why would he ask us to get up in this here boat knowing the storm is coming? And this joker's sleeping. That's what I would have probably been tempted to feel, right? But the reality, isn't this somehow analogous to life itself, correct? And sometimes, you know, God allows us or actually leads us into the storms of life. That is the reality, correct? It sometimes happens. You know, and I believe in these moments we have a decision to make. And these folks made the decision in the boat, probably like us. "Master, we're going to drown," right? I love Mark's translation, you know. "Don't you care if we drown?" I mean, that's a little, you know, I like that. That gets in. That's got a little bit something else in there, doesn't it? "Don't you care if we drown? I'm trying to follow you. I am trusting you to get me through life, but this storm, it makes me afraid." And so what it makes me feel like is you don't care about me. You have left me hanging. Even though I'm close to you, I am experiencing distress in my life. And I don't think you care. Don't you care if we drown? What are you going through right now where you feel like, you know, I don't know if Jesus really cares. You know, I know I'm in the church or I'm nearby, but I'm not feeling the care and concern here. Who's going to help me? Because Jesus is obviously asleep. He doesn't really care. And everyone around me is freaking out too. So who do I really have to lean on, right? But at the end of the day, I give them credit. At least they did go to Jesus, right? Because some people, they start tripping. They start, "Well, Jesus, he's sleeping. Poseidon, please help the God of the water. You know, the little mermaid, is she anywhere? Can she help? The Jesus thing's not working. Let me find something else to follow," right? That's how some people are. Get a little storm in life. Jesus seems to be not really responding the way you want. And so you go elsewhere for that spiritual protection or that just physical protection in life, right? I need a different gospel. I want to go where they tell you if you show up and give your money, you get a lot back and all that. I want one of them churches. You know what I'm saying? We can be tempted to do that. But I appreciate at least these guys, at least they went to Jesus. And you know, hey, wake us, hey, wake up. So Jesus, the Bible says, he got up. I don't know if he yawned. I don't know what he did. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. I mean, what does that look like? Have you ever tried to do that? I know you tried to rebuke people that get into your lane in your car and when you're driving. And you think that hopefully your words can make them get out of your way or, you know. But have you ever just been able to rebuke weather? That's insane to us, right? We can't even fathom that. But that's exactly what happened. That amazes me about Jesus. That blows my mind. I wish I could have seen it. I mean, I remember when that tsunami happened years ago and just watching the documentaries that they and the models that they recreated because, you know, they didn't have any film of when it started, you know, the earthquake happened under the earth or whatever and the water started. And they talked about the waves that when it got to like the highest speeds and it said like 300-400 miles an hour or something like that. That the water was moving. Water? Moving that fast? I mean, a jet plane, what, 500 miles an hour? 600? I mean, you know, that's amazing to me. But if Jesus had decided to, he could have just with a word, stop. That amazes me. That amazes me. And then Jesus says, man, where's your faith? Okay, at that point, I'd be mad again. It's like I just watched a man, the wave was here, and then he said, stop, and then it went down. And I'm like, thank you. You know, I'm like, oh. And then I get rebuked. You know, I get discipled. You know what I'm saying? I mean, why didn't Jesus just let them off the hook? They're human. They went through a tough time. Why does Jesus immediately go into discipling mode? Why isn't he more compassionate and try to, you know, relate to where they were? You know what I mean? Why didn't he do that? I like when people relate to me. I don't like when they challenge me in my faith. When I'm going through a storm in my life. You know, I don't want somebody challenging me and questioning my faith. Just make me feel better. And actually thank me for not jumping out of the boat or something. I want encouragement. I don't want you questioning me. But that's what happened. Where is your faith? Why would Jesus say that in that context? In that moment, why would he say that? Knowing the frailty and how fragile humans are, in great danger, and when it subsides, why would he say that? Where's your faith? What would make him say that? I can tell you what I think. I think Jesus is like, look, I told you, what did I tell you when we got in the boat? You said we're going to go to the other side. Excuse me, what did I say? That we were going to go to the other side. Okay, when the storm came, were we at the other side yet? No, we weren't actually on the other side. We were still in the middle. Yeah, so. Hey, guys. If I wasn't panicking, then why were you? You know, you're supposed to take your cues off of me. Are you fixing your eyes on me? Because if you fixed your eyes on me, you'd have been doing what I was doing. I was trying to get a nap in. Because y'all wear a brother out, you know what I mean? I'm always trying to teach you something. I was trying to get some sleep. But God, you know, Jesus, the storm, it seemed very dangerous. I know, but I wasn't panicking. You shouldn't have either. Right. Fix your eyes on me. Have faith in me. If I tell you that we get in the boat and we're going to go to the other side, we're going to make it to the other side. There might be some turbulence in between, but don't lose your faith that I have the power to get you from one side to the other. And I believe that's where that comes from. And I'm telling you right now, we are in the boat of life. And if you're a follower of Jesus, he's telling you, I'm coming back, and I'm going to take you where I am. Right? That's what he said. But guess what? Bad things are going to happen in between, probably. Man, we're going to lose people we didn't want to lose. Whether it be maybe they lose their faith, or maybe, honestly, you know, we lose them, they die. Tragic things might happen. Discouragements. Right? So what is your response going to be? Jesus isn't here. He's sleeping at the wheel. Or are you going to maintain your faith throughout the storm? Fixing your eyes on Jesus. What's Jesus doing right now? He's not probably panicking, thinking that the world's going to end because of whatever your storm is. When you sing songs like, "He has the power to break all every chain," do you really believe it or not? You know, I've been talking to our group at North River, and recently I just told them, I said, look, I'm going to give you a definition for what conviction means, okay? I don't want to, because every time I'll preach, bro, that was convicting, or man, I have a conviction, and I was convicted, and all that. I've heard that so many times, right? But then sometimes I don't really see anything happen because of that, right? So I said, let me help you out. Here's my definition of conviction, okay, right? It's a strongly held belief based on scripture that causes you to live differently.
Amen.
You get what I'm saying?
Come on,
a strongly held belief, yes. But it's based on the Bible. But it actually causes you to live in accordance with, right? That to me is what a conviction is. So don't tell me that, hey, I was so convicted, or man, No. Make some changes. Let it make a change in your life. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
That's what we need to have happen. And I think these guys needed a conviction on who Jesus was. And notice at the end, they were amazed. Who is this? Who is this? You know, I think that's what we need to come back to every day. Who is this? I was doing Amazed by Jesus, hashtag. Some of you have no idea what that means. If you're like over 35, you're like, dude, what is that? I don't even know what that is. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Now, Mike's telling me, watch out, bro. I know exactly what it is. Okay, well, amen. No, but this is something I told my folks at North River. I said, hey, look, you know what? Let's read our Bibles. And every time we get fired up and something about Jesus just gets us going, in 140 characters or less, right? Tweet about it, okay? And use that hashtag. And it was kind of cool. We had people going back and forth, right? Just talking about, man, I read this in the scriptures, and it made me think about Jesus and this, and boom, hashtag. And so it was cool, a little social media conversation where we were sharing about how Jesus amazed us. You know, because sometimes it could be just walking around the street during the middle of the day and you don't know. But boom, you tweet it out and it's kind of encouraging. So I want to encourage you. Do that this week for those of you on Twitter. Amen?
Amen.
Amazed by Jesus. See, these guys were amazed because you know what? Jesus looked like them.
Wow.
Okay. He was probably average height, right? The Bible says nothing about his appearance was anything powerful, right? So he was a man. He had hands, feet, eyes, hair, whatever. Right? But he rebuked the wind and the water and it stopped. It stopped. And so who is this? He's not like us, but he is, but he's not. And I want that to consistently amaze us, that all of that power, that God was pleased to have all his power dwell in the body of Jesus. And that he had the power to even affect nature. Nature he could change. Blows my mind. I want to read some other scriptures to you. We're going to read some more. And you can get the clip ready. Because I'm going to read some scriptures. And the last one, we'll see a little video. If it works. They say it may or may not work. So if it doesn't, then I'll figure something out. But Matthew chapter 4, verse 20. At once they left their nets and followed him. Matthew 4, 22. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Matthew 9, verse 9. Or excuse me, John 12, verse 13. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Luke 19, verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Why are you clapping? Like, what? No, seriously, I'm just, like, what do you feel when you see that? Hope? Compassion? Grace, right? Right? Matthew got humble, didn't he?
He's amazed, too. I mean, he's repeating what he was thinking.
You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. It's almost like Matthew, Jesus knew what he was probably feeling. He was mouthing the. It's like Jesus has that power to get into our hearts, you know? Right? You know what I'm amazed by also? It's just the courage of Jesus. Just to call it out. To call the smugness of religiosity. Just deal with it right there. I love that courage of Jesus. To have people talking about, oh, the vermin. You know, you can barely hear it at the beginning. Oh, those people. Man, those tax collectors. Taking money from their own people. And then the Pharisee, what did he say? You should keep your distance from him. Right? And so many times, how many of us have been swayed by that kind of stuff? Right? Somebody in your office or a cubicle over or something, you know, talking about somebody else at work. Right? And you know you're a Christian, you shouldn't, but you sit there in the conversation and you don't squash the conversation. And you let the gossip keep going, right? And you're even tempted to throw in a couple things yourself, right? Maybe it happens at school. I don't know. But I appreciate about Jesus. He doesn't get dragged into all that.
Come on.
Yeah, you might consider this guy vermin. You might want me to keep my distance from him. But let me tell you a story. Right? Exposes everybody's heart. I love that about Jesus.
Amen.
I love that about him. And the scriptures I read, these were all examples. You know, once they left their nets, right? They left their parents' business, right? The woman just breaks this expensive jar of perfume, right? Zacchaeus making all this money. Hey, what do you see? That's change.
Yes.
Conviction.
Yes.
Not just, oh, yeah, Jesus is a great teacher. Oh, yeah, yeah, that he's really nice and compassionate and loving. No, it made a change in their lives.
Amen.
They made a decision. Sometimes it was a financial loss. Sometimes it might have been their reputation to take your hair and in a public place and to wash a man's feet with your own hair and your tears. That was not cool to do. It was socially unacceptable. But man, when you have a conviction about who Jesus is, all that stuff just falls to the side. Because Jesus just has that power. Just to get in our hearts, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know, and I did see this firsthand, really, about, you know, over the last couple weeks with my grandmother, you know. And Debbie and Dana know, you know, Big Mama. I mean, she's a strong lady, right? Little lady. She's Big Mama, but she's about this tall. And I became a Christian like in 1996, and You know how you reach out to your family, right? I reached out to my mom, and it was encouraging. You know, my mom studied the Bible, got baptized, right? It was really cool. And she's been faithful ever since. She's still going strong. You know, and we worked on Big Mama. We tried to get her to come out. And she studied the Bible with one of the elders' wives. But you know what? She was secure in her assessment of Jesus at the time. And she just was thankful for this woman to sit down and study the Bible with her. And that's as far as it went. But that was like 15 years ago, right? But about a couple months ago, or a month or so ago, I mean, my mom's calling me from Texas, and she's like, "Hey, you know, let me tell you something. Your Aunt Brenda couldn't watch Big Mama because Big Mama's, her memory's fading a little bit, right? And she can't be kind of left alone too long." He said, "Your Aunt Brenda couldn't keep Big Mama, so I just said, well, I'm going to take her to the Bible talk." So got my 90-year-old grandmother into the car, drove 25 minutes to the Bible discussion. And she said, "Your Big Mama ate it up."
There you go.
She was engaged, and she was talking and raising her hand. She said, "I couldn't even believe it." And then one of the women asked her, you know, "Would you like to study the scriptures?" And Big Mama said, "Yes, I would." And so for me, I was feeling a little weird about it, to be honest with you, right? Because I'm like, how's this going to work? I mean, she's got early Alzheimer's. I mean, her memory fades, right? And so I'm sitting there thinking like, I don't know if this is going to work, but I just keep it to myself, right? You know what I'm saying? And so then a couple weeks later, my mom calls me back. Jeff, you would not believe Big Mama right now. She's sharing things, and when she reads the scriptures, it's amazing. And I kind of thought, yeah, what about her memory, Mom? Like, how does this work, you know? And my mom said, Jeff, you'll never believe it. It's almost like her memory challenges are helping her. Because when you're sitting with her and the Bible's open, she's fully present. She's right there in the moment. And the Bible it's having an impact on her. And you can see her humility. Jeff, she's being humble. I mean, I was blown away. And so I'm processing all this. And I have Monday mornings, I take my kids to do a little Bible. We do a verse together on Monday morning. So it's one verse every time we get together. So on Monday, you know, sat down. One of my daughters likes to go to Dunkin' Donuts, one Starbucks or whatever. But I do the same scripture with both. So I'm trying to be good dad, teach them the scripture. And the scripture for a couple weeks ago was Ephesians 3. You know, he is immeasurably able to do more than you ask or imagine, right? You know that one? And so I'm teaching my daughters these scriptures, and I'm feeling all good about myself, right? And I take them to school, and then I go have my quiet time, right? And I'm sitting there just thinking about and I'm praying for my big mama. But I stop in my prayer, and I'm like, God, how is this? How does this work? She has no memory. Are people really in there? Are they getting advice? If she does, is this baptism going to count? I mean, that's the stuff I was thinking. And guess what happened? He is able to do immeasurably more than you ask or imagine. It was like, wait a minute, I just read this with my kids. Oh, this was for me? Wow. God, you're trying to teach me something. You know what I mean? Right? And so when my mom called me up, she said, Jeff, you need it. She's serious. She wants to get baptized. She wants you to do it. I was like, oh, my goodness. So I jumped on a plane and, you know, flew out to Dallas, Texas, and was able to, you know, baptize my 90-year-old grandmother. You know what I mean? Unbelievable. Amazed by Jesus. Because it wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was Jesus. And it was the love of the brothers and sisters in that church. That family group. That group of a Filipino family hosted. Right? Black folks, Latinos, white folks, all in this family group, all ages, single moms, kids running around, just meeting together consistently, loving up on my 90-year-old grandmother, right? And she responded in conviction because she's amazed by Jesus. But the question is today, are you amazed by Jesus? And I hope you are. Amen.
That was an amazing lesson, right? Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you so much for Jeff Hickman's lesson today. God, help us just to really be amazed by you every single day, to never let our faith grow old or stale, or to let church just become a tradition or a routine, God. But just renew our faith and help us just to really go after you with that same, that vigor every day that we had at first. And it's in your holy name I pray, Lord. Amen.
No, I just missed.